We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty then, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, at the South Point Studios. South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital, and the South Point Studio Streaming Network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show, as well as all of our other listeners and watchers on different platforms that we have that include our local radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. Our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global, iPhone, Android, and Google Phone, covered with your apps. You can get your apps at your app store, KSHP app. You can listen through the radio station, the YouTube app. Of course, you can see us and hear us through the YouTube app as well. On your devices and anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Wednesday as we begin another week at looking at the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style. We welcome you to the show. Beautiful day here in Las Vegas, 74 degrees outside right now. And are you ready for this? All right, we've got, this is May 21st. We will hit the 100-degree mark for the first time officially here in Las Vegas today. If you are looking ahead to this coming weekend, it's the Memorial Day weekend, you know. We're going to have a special show on Monday. We go six straight days now. We go Monday, the Memorial holiday on Monday, at our regular start time, as you see us now, at 7 a.m. Pacific time on Monday, this coming Monday. So if you're thinking about coming on up here to Las Vegas and enjoying your gaming capital on the big Memorial Day weekend, weather is going to be beautiful. It'll get to 100 degrees both on Thursday and on Memorial Day Monday. It'll be in the mid to high 90s otherwise, and the sun will be shining bright here in Las Vegas, and it's always fast and firm in the race books. Looking across the country today, Miami's got 88 degrees. New York is going to be 57 with rain, I understand. We'll get the latest from Jonathan Hardoon, although there's no racing in New York today anyway. Chicago got a little bit of rain there and 54 degrees. Kind of a chilly part going up in the northeastern section of the good old U.S. of A because of all those storms going through. And then, of course, let's see. Oh, El Paso, 96. Los Angeles, 87, but no racing there today. Phoenix, Arizona is topping out the highest at 103 in Phoenix, Arizona today. And as far as the precipitation is concerned, well, you got all of that action coming in over the Great Lakes area, going right across to the East Coast and the Mid-East Coast there, over Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and parts of New York as well. So keep that in mind today. I guess the only racetrack that probably will be affected by the weather today would be Parks Racing in Pennsylvania. All right, taking a look now at the Belmont Stakes. All right, we've had the Kentucky Derby. We've had the Preakness. We know the Derby winner, Sovereignty, is moving on to start in the Belmont. We know that Journalism, winning the Preakness Stakes, has been shipped to Saratoga, New York, and they will be waiting to see, as they did for the Preakness Stakes. They said they're going to wait and see, but the horse has moved on to Saratoga. They said the horse will tell them in his mannerisms and how he eats and how he's on the racetrack and, his energy, so to speak. Journalism will tell them if he wants to run in the Belmont Stakes, which, as you know, the countdown behind us, 17 days and counting away. So Journalism is there. So here are the probables for the Belmont Stakes coming up at Saratoga at a mile and a quarter, 17 days from today. We got the Sovereignty. He's been training and getting ready to go for Bill Mott. Of course, he was your Derby winner. Baeza, who skipped the Preakness Stakes, got in the Derby in the last minute, finished third in the Kentucky Derby, and a lot of people thought he was as impressive as the winner and the second-place finisher in the Derby. Some thought he was more impressive with his trip. Baeza, John Sheriff's trains. Baeza, of course, is training towards a start in the Belmont. Rodriguez, who's had his situation with this quarter crack that kept him from both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes. Remember, he won the Wood going wire to wire, the Wood Memorial for Bob Baffert. He's expected to be healthy enough now to get into the Belmont Stakes. Hill Road, this is a horse trained by Chad Brown, who won the Peter Pan Stakes, the prep for the Belmont. The Peter Pan winner is there. Heart of Honor, who was fifth in the Preakness Stakes. Jamie Osborne is the trainer there, a long shot to say the least. Journalism, if he goes, after winning the Preakness for Mike McCarthy. Gosker, who ran a huge race by finishing second in the Preakness Stakes for Brendan Walsh. Brendan Walsh believes that he'll handle the mile and a quarter adjusted distance for the Belmont this year at Saratoga. And McAfee, a trainee from Rick Dutrow's barn, who was second in the Peter Pan to Hill Road. So you have the first and second place finishers in the Peter Pan, hopefully the winner of the recent Preakness and the Kentucky Derby, and the third place finisher in the Kentucky Derby. That's going to make this race a very interesting race. And, of course, those are the probables to this moment. You know it's going to happen. Sooner or later, there are going to be trainers who will dump some other horses into the race. But that's how it looks right now as probables. And it's shaping up pretty good. If we can get those probables in, this is going to be a heck of a Belmont Stakes, your third jewel of the Triple Crown. Again, we want to remind you that we're having a special Memorial Day show this coming Monday at 7 a.m. here where you're getting the race day shows now. And as far as this week is concerned, well, Saturday, Belmont at Aqueduct, Churchill, Gulfstream, and Monmouth will all have their stakes races. Santa Anita is going to have five stakes races. It's the big Hollywood Gold Cup Calbred weekend out at Santa Anita. So Santa Anita is going to have five stakes races on Saturday. As far as Sunday is concerned, Hawthorne, Monmouth, and Santa Anita will have a stakes race apiece. But then coming up on Memorial Day Monday, you'll have Churchill Downs offering a Grade 3. Monmouth Park will have a stakes race. And Santa Anita will host three stakes races, two Grade 1s and one Grade 2. That's coming up this week through the Memorial Day Monday. But I got to tell you that a week from this weekend, the last weekend of May, on the 31st of May, Churchill Downs is going to have six stakes races with five graded stakes races, a big day coming up 1 week from this weekend at Saturday at Churchill. And along with that Saturday, you'll have a couple of stakes at Delaware, a couple more at Gulfstream, a stakes race at Monmouth, one grade three at Santa Anita, and four graded stakes races at Woodbine. So with Memorial Day Monday coming up and this weekend with the holiday, and then the following weekend, the following Saturday and Sunday, the following Saturday especially, to end up this month of May, we're going to have a lot of good stakes races on tap. That's for sure. The ratings for the NBC Preakness telecast was down. 5.9 million viewers, down from 7 million in 2024. And that kind of was expected without Sovereignty being in it. Junior Alvarado, who you remember got a big, got tagged big penalties and a fine for his over-exuberance in trying to get Sovereignty home a winner in the Kentucky Derby. From Heisa, that fined him $62,000 and 2 days suspension as well. Well, Alvarado is appealing that ruling, and most people feel that with that appeal, his Derby fine and suspension are expected, those penalties are expected to be cut in half. So we'll wait and see about that appeal. As far as Preakness Day buyer figures are concerned, couple of horses had 100 buyer figures during the Preakness weekend. Awesome Aaron, who won the Pimlico Special, got 100 buyer. And Booth, who won the Maryland Sprint, also got 100 buyer. The Preakness winner, Journalism, got a 98. But as you know, as our guys, most of our guys, handicappers like Jonathan Hardoon and Jerry Jackowitz, who do the numbers, tell us that when a horse gets in trouble like Journalism did in the Preakness Stakes, there's no quantifying system of numbers that you can adjust for the numbers like the buyer figure. So the buyer figure is 98 as the performance it is. You have to make those adjustments as you see them as far as how much the trouble that the horse got in affects the final number, the final speed figure number, whatever speed figure you use. And so if he got a 98, a pure 98 in the Preakness Stakes, me for one could put him at least to 100 buyer after all of that trouble he had at the top of the stretch, as you know. So those were the buyer figures. And as far as our friends, that good old Heisa, well, Heisa's first quarter racing fatalities numbers are in. And it is 0.85%, less than 1%, 0.85% per 1,000 horses racing that had a fatality during the first quarter of this year. And that's a slight decline from 0.90, lowest, that 0.90 was equivalent to the last year's first quarter. But the 0.85% is the lowest data since the data was collected since 2009, since Heisa started out. So it's the lowest there. I think that we have to look at that with two factors that I think work into that number. That is, I think the horsemen are being a little bit more careful because they know they can get either late scratched or fined by Heisa. And Heisa is, adjusting a little bit of their regulations, et cetera, for these things. But that's good news, I think. That's for sure. All right. On today's show, we got handicapper Jonathan Hardoon, Dwayne Colucci, who is, of course, our man from the Rampart. He'll be with us today. It's Wednesday, so it's Colucci Wednesday. Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J as well. Taking a quick look at what happened on Sunday, you know, just to recap what happened on Sunday at Belmont at Aqueduct. Flavian Pratt had three wins on the card. He won the second race for Rudy Rodriguez, who had his first win of the day at $11 even. And then Pratt came back for Chad Brown in the fifth race at $4.50 and wound up in the ninth and final race, winning the ninth and final for Rudy Rodriguez's second win of the day, paying $32.80, which was the highest payoff on Sunday all day at Aqueduct. Flavian Pratt on a $32.80 winner. Irad Ortiz Jr. had a couple of winners. Irad checked in the sixth race for Todd Pletcher at $6.50, came back in the eighth race for William Walden, paying a chalky $2.80. And Jose Lascano and Linda Rice, yeah, they had another winner together on Sunday. That horse paid $11.40. The pick six at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct on Sunday, paid $19,852. Churchill Downs, Luis Saez was the riding star there at Churchill. He had four wins in the first seven races at Churchill on Sunday. He won the first race at $8.08, came back in the third race for Norm Cassie at $4.88, came back in the fifth race for Joe Sharp's first of two winners at $7.46, and then capped off the seventh race paying $30.06. Joe Sharp got his second win in the fifth race with Louis' third win of the day at $7.46. And Gennaro Garcia, trainer Gennaro Garcia, had a couple of winners. He won the second and fourth races there at Churchill on Sunday. Finally, at Santa Anita on Sunday, well, Mark Glatt and Antonio Freysou got together to win the second race, paying $3.80. Then Freysou came back with his second win of the day in the ninth and final for Phil D'Amato at $14 even. Juan Hernandez checked in on a Bob Baffert trainee in the third race, paying $2.60 as the big prohibitive favorite there. He came back in the ninth race for Jeff Mullins, paying $4.20. That was a selection on the show by Rich Eng. So Rich Eng gave us a winner in the ninth race at Santa Anita on Sunday. And Jerry Jackowitz came with a winner in the, I take that back, John Lendo came with a winner for us in the sixth race at Santa Anita with the Regal Patriot, Tiago Piera aboard for Steve Knapp, paying $5.20. So John Lendo and Rich Eng both gave us winners on Sunday at Santa Anita. So much for the recap. Time to take a look ahead at what's happening not only this week, but certainly trying to extract a play or two today from our handicappers. As I say, we have Jonathan Hardoon, Dwayne Colucci, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J yet to come. So as we start out our racing week here from Las Vegas, we'll take our first break. And you can chat away on the chat box if you want at the YouTube spot. Go to our page on YouTube. The chat box is on the right-hand side of our page. Subscribe if you haven't already. It is free to do so. And then you can chat away for our chatters. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to get to the racing menu for today. It is short and sweet. We have 7 racetracks on our racing menu today. And we remind you that the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas. In the Pacific time zone, these will be the first post times that roll out in our race book here at South Point today. However, we know that we have our signals going all over the world on different platforms. So whatever time zone you're in, if you're not in the Pacific time zone, adjust to it from your time zone so you don't miss anything like, of course, I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. We begin our menu today with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has their first post time at 9:35, 9:35 at Delaware Park. Coming up next will be Parks Racing. Now, Parks Racing has a first post time of 9:40. 9:40 today at Parks Racing. Their first post time there. No carryovers in their pick five today at Parks. Coming up next comes Finger Lakes in upstate New York. Finger Lakes has a first post time of 10 a.m. 10 a.m. at Finger Lakes. Then we follow up with Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has a first post time of 11:10. And then we go to Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time of 12:30 today. 12:30 at Presque Isle. Penn National is next. Penn National has a first post time at Penn Nat at 2:45 at Penn National. And then we wrap it up with Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs has a first post time of 3:30 this afternoon. That's Pacific time. And as you can tell, there are really no carryovers in any of the pools that we have on our racetracks today. All right. That does it for that. Now let's go out to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Parks has no carryover because yesterday was a mandatory payout, so
All right. They
start fresh today.
Okay. I would imagine that it paid pretty good then.
I think 11,000 or something. Oh. Obviously, there were multiple tickets. So.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, how's the weather in your part of the country?
Well, I'm up in Saratoga, and it's overcast. It looks like it's going to rain any minute. Down by Aqueduct, they're expecting rain for the next few days. Yeah. The only good news is that they don't run again until Friday, because Monday they have a special day of racing. So Belmont at Aqueduct resumes on Friday.
Yeah, there's a lot of stakes races coming up this weekend, that's for sure. And Santa Anita's going to have a combination of the Calbred weekend of racing, and of course the Hollywood Gold Cup weekend, where they have some stakes races. But on Saturday, they'll have the Crystal Water, the Franz Valentine, the Melaire, the Snow Chief, and Thor's Echo, all California breds. They got the big stakes races named after them. But on Sunday, you've got Santa Anita's got the Santa Margarita. That's a grade two for the older fillies and mares going a mile and one eighth. And of course, on Monday, they come back with the Gamely, the Hollywood Gold Cup, and the Shoemaker Mile. Shoemaker Mile has always been a fun race.
And actually, Ralph, two of those races have full fields. I think they have 9 or 10 horses in two of those big races, so that's certainly good. People want to bet big fields. They don't want these 5 and 6 horse races, so, you know, that's good.
Yeah, that'll be good for Monday, Memorial Day. I remember when I was in Southern California, and of course, growing up at the racetrack there, it was always a special weekend. Memorial Day weekend was always special because by that time the weather was just nice. You had the beach going on and all of the other activities for Memorial Day, and it was always a special weekend out at Hollywood Park. Hollywood Park was really the Memorial Day weekend place to be, and they had some great stakes races there. That beautiful infield with all the lakes and the goose girl that even was yeah. there, you know, et cetera. It was really nice. And, you know, since it's been to Santa Anita, they were at least Santa Anita was smart enough to keep the stakes races named after what they were at Hollywood Park. And it's going to be a good weekend of racing at Santa Anita. They got a lot of events that are scheduled there as well. So it ain't quite being at Hollywood Park where you get that breeze from the ocean, which was only like 7 miles away down the street to the L.A. airport and the Pacific Ocean. You know, Santa Anita is an inland.
Century Boulevard.
Yeah. But Santa Anita, of course, in the inner part of
Los Angeles, although the beautiful, majestic mountain range behind it. But it gets pretty hot there in Arcadia in the summertime there. But I'm sure they'll have fun. And we're going to, like you said, full fields in those stakes races. It's going to be a lot of fun to play those races, no matter where you're at.
Yeah, listen, let's be honest. Most of the meet, Santa Anita's cards were nothing to write home about. But this weekend, it looks like at least they're going to have some really big fields and good racing. And again, that's all people are asking for.
And, you know, the weekend after that, now we got Memorial Day coming up on Monday, and then the Saturday after that, Churchill Downs kicks in with a huge, huge racing day of racing. They got the Aristides, a grade three, the Arlington Stakes, a grade three on the turf. You got the Audubon, you got the Blame Stakes now, a grade three, the Regret, a grade three, and the Shawnee Stakes, a grade three as well. So they got a lot of great stakes races coming up at the end of the month in May as we flip the page to already the middle of 2025 here. We're getting to June soon.
It's amazing. And, you know, Saratoga and Del Mar will both be opening next month. So, well, I guess, no, a little further than next month, maybe 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when things really start hopping. So all these other tracks want to get their stakes out of the way before those two meets happen because, you know, most of the horses will be shipping either to New York or to California for the most part.
I can say this, that we have to squeeze in that Los Alamitos Thoroughbred meet between the end of Santa Anita's Hollywood meeting and the beginning of Del Mar. That meet in between, the Los Alamitos meet, is always a lot of fun. And believe it or not, it's pretty competitive as well. And there's a lot of horses that have raced at Los Alamitos that have moved into big stakes races later on in the year and the following year. I know that the future.
Baffert always seems to send out a horse or two that runs well in those stake races.
Yeah, you know, the Los Alamitos Futurity has almost got his name on it, that's for sure. All right, looking ahead to the Belmont. We got Sovereignty has been working out, has taken that rest between the Derby and the Belmont, not participating in the Preakness. And ditto for Baeza, who they say is doing very well up at Saratoga. And Journalism, who had that eventful Preakness win just over the weekend, has moved up to Saratoga. And like they said, they're going to do the same thing they did for the Preakness. He is always a probable, but not a...
definite. Nothing is definite.
Wait a minute. He's always a possible, but not a probable yet.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, it's going to be an awful lot to ask him to run three races in 5 weeks like that. Not only that, Ralph, let's be honest. You know, if you watch the Preakness, wow, when you watched it live the first time, it looked like what a tremendous performance. And it was. Take nothing away from Journalism. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the race closely, Ralph, he was never winning that race. Down the backstretch, he let go of the bridle and he started to gap out a little. He only got into the race after he got mugged at the top of the stretch. And I think, honestly, in my heart, I believe that pissed the horse off. And he dug it in and he went and he got it. But without that happening, I don't know if he really wins the race because I think Goscar was just gone. And that's just my opinion. I'm sure I'm going to get slammed for it. But I don't think he was winning the Preakness without that mishap at the top of the stretch.
Well, now, there are a lot of ways to get a horse to either focus or get into
bridle.
The mode that he wants to win the race and produce everything he has of and within him. And you're telling me that Rispoli hadn't found that key before he got banged around?
Well, you were watching the race. Did you think, you know, you watch races, a million races, Ralph. You could tell a horse down the backstretch if he's traveling like a winner or not. At no point was Journalism traveling like a winner. Again, this is just my opinion, and I could be 1,000% wrong. But that's the way I saw the race.
You know, in taking a look at that, and I saw the replay a couple of times, I can understand your opinion of that. But I also want to remind everybody that Rispoli might not have asked him to drop his head and really start running yet because he was kind of running in place. So, you know, when you think about what the jockey's thinking about, well, I'm running in place here, and now I got to find a spot to go, and I don't want to, you know, like throw an extra cross on him and you know, ask him to go and then run up on a horse's heels, which, by the way, it happened anyhow. But that happened at a strategic point where it was either a go or a no.
Yeah, but two things happened in that race. Uh-huh. He had the, you know, when they made a sandwich out of him. And the other thing that happened was when Sandman ranged up outside of him, he saw Sandman and then he kicked it in again. You know, I don't know. He did it on just the self-determination by the horse. Again, take nothing away from him. He got the job done and he ran great. The problem is, I just didn't think he was traveling like a winner.
So you're saying that when he, after he got clear from the banging, when he saw Sandman on the other side, he lost
and
he lost vision of Gosker, you think?
Well, he saw or heard the horse coming up outside of him, uh-huh. And I think that even focused him more. You know, go again, Ralph. You could watch a race 1,000 times and get 1,000 different things out of it, but that's what I got out of it.
Well, we all know one thing: no matter how it was produced. At the
he
end,
got the job.
Yeah, he got the job done, and at the end, it took a lot to catch Gosker, who was pretty much out in front.
He was gone. Gosker was gone, Ralph. He was gone.
Now, that's 1 3/16, and as we witnessed, journalism caught Gosker, even with the event that happened at the top of the stretch. Now, the Belmont Stakes is an extra 16th of a mile. It would have been an extra, you know, eighth plus a 16th if it was 1.5 miles, but it's 1.25 miles, which is an extra 16th of a mile. Does that, in watching Gosker's performance in the Preakness, does that you? I don't think that extra 16th is going to help him.
No, well, obviously, if it's longer, it probably won't help him. But
well, it is longer.
Yeah. So okay, it's not going to help him. I mean, you know, remember Gosker was 20-1 on Saturday, and he ran great for a 20-1 shot, and he looked like he was actually home. To be honest with you, now he would have to repeat that performance or make a forward move off of it 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. It doesn't seem likely, in my opinion.
Ah, the key phrase that you used is he has to move forward, and at this time of the year with the 3-year-olds, we know that from one race to the other. They can either move forward or regress a lot. This is the time of the year especially with 3-year-olds that they're maturing, and then we find out really where you know the bottom might be for these horses. All I can say is, out of Sovereignty, Journalism, and Baeza, I think those three are really three nice 3-year-olds so far. I think this is a good 3-year-old crop.
This is a terrific 3-year-old crop. Believe me, you're going to see these horses run. You know, hopefully they don't ship them off to breeding, but these are really some nice horses, Ralph. This is a good crop.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch them, and then it's going to be real fun to watch them in the fall when they start banging heads in the handicap division against the older horses right now. So it's always...
Well, they also have the Travers to look forward to, the Haskell, and then, you know, the Pennsylvania Derby, I guess, is on the radar for some of these horses, and then they go to the Breeders' Cup and they face the older horses.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, that's for sure. And it's going to be fun this week, as you say, with competitive racing cards already drawn for Southern California at Santa Anita. I know that you didn't do any sheets today, so it'd be kind of... a waste of time to ask you for a pick.
Sorry, Ralph.
And
one more day. Look, tomorrow we have Churchill and Gulfstream.
Yeah, okay. But here's the deal now. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you have a sandbox.
No, I was on my sandbox.
No soapbox. No soapbox or sandbox today, right?
No sandbox today.
Right. Well, thanks a lot for the conversation, Jonathan, anyhow. And you can get back to your to-do list for today and get started with some picks for tomorrow. How about that?
By the way, good for Junior Alvarado on appealing those ridiculous fines. Yeah. Hopefully, Heiser will wisen up a little.
Well,
because it makes it look silly.
The experts say that with him exercising the appeal itself, it'll probably cut the fines and the suspension in half. So that's good stuff.
All righty.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Ed.
Right.
See you tomorrow.
All right. You got it, my man. All right. Good conversation with Jonathan Ardoon. We got Rich Eng coming up next. I think maybe we'll get a pick out of Rich Eng. And, of course, John Lindo. And don't forget, Dwayne Colucci standing in the wings as well. I'll bet you he has something to say. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show. Every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge, The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. We're going to go out to Rich Eng with Dwayne standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners. And before we get started, Ralph, I have a question for Dwayne after me. If you remember last Wednesday, he gave out a nice winner.
He sure did.
On the show. And that was the horse. I did bet the horse. So I was watching the tote board.
Yep.
11-1 loading the gate, 9-2 crossing the finish line. I want to ask Dwayne, how much money did he bet on that horse?
Well, you know, I guess he took the rubber band off the bankroll for that one, I guess. We'll wait and see.
We'll find out.
All right, you've had a couple of days to digest all that happened over the weekend. Any thoughts about the post-Preakness?
Yeah, it was obviously a spectacular win by journalism. The fact that he had to muscle out of a tight spot. And maybe I'm in the minority, but I thought a lot of the trouble was caused by Flavion Pratt. He was elbows up, kind of like a hockey term, trying to keep journalism pinned in on the rail, and I thought he came over a little bit. But I tell you what, when you've got big money on the table, Ralph, and you've seen 40, 50 years of horse racing, you want a jockey in a grade one race with $1 million of purses to do everything he can to win within the rules. And he bowled his way out of there. And then I didn't think he was going to catch Gosker. Gosker had such a huge lead on him. Mm-hmm. And it looked like journalism just got mad or something. But he accelerated the final furlong and ran him down late. As a personal opinion, Ralph, if I was Michael McCarthy or one of his assistants, I probably would recommend him giving the horse a little bit of a break and pointing for either the Haskell Travers or Jim Dandy Travers. I think that's one reason why he went straight to Saratoga, because if he's going to go Jim Dandy Travers, it's right there at Saratoga.
Yeah, he's going to be there anyhow. Yeah. No sense in bringing him to California and then back over to Saratoga. So we'll wait and see. And they said the horse will tell them, and we will wait and see what journalism thinks in the end for sure. But journalism, I guess it's the old saying, don't wake up the sleeping lion. In any case, I know that you always try to search out a winner when you come on the show. So do you have a pick for us today?
Yeah, let's go to race number 10 at Parks. It's a mile going optional claimer 25. Good betting race, Ralph. There's a 9 horse field. I like the number 8, Game Time Gladiator. That man, Jamie Ness, who wins an awful lot of races in the mid-Atlantic states and even ships up to New York once in a while. But he's got this horse with Ruben Silvera up. One thing that I really like, Ralph, he claimed this horse for $30,000, two back, ran the horse for $30,000 last time. Nobody claimed him, and now he's protected today in a spot that he looks really good. 8, Game Time Gladiator, race 10.
10th race at Parks, and that race will go about 1:45 Pacific time today. In the 10th race at Parks, you like the 8 horse, Game Time Gladiator, 3-1 on the morning line, the 8 in the 10th at Parks Racing. All right, well, thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good luck, everybody.
Let's go to Rampart. Standing by is Dwayne Colucci. Dwayne, good morning.
What's up, Ralph? How we doing today?
Well, Richie wants to know how much money you bet on that horse last week to knock the odds down like that. I told him you took the rubber band off the bankroll.
It wasn't me. Trust me, Ralph. My bets are in way ahead of time. Those odds were changing really late as that horse went into the gate. And, you know, I was perplexed. I couldn't believe it. He won very easily, but the money must have been pouring in from those CAWs and wherever across the country, because I had made my bet long prior to that, you know, happening.
Well, since we haven't talked to you since the Preakness, your take?
It was an amazing race, I'll tell you the truth. You know, a lot of dangerous, rough riding, in my opinion. You know, it looked like Rispoli created a hole, and, you know, Flavian Pratt now is definitely under the gun for some, what I think was tactical race riding. You know, Irad Ortiz constantly does that, and Jose Ortiz and other stronger riders. And, you know, Flavian Pratt now takes his turn, and all of a sudden he's the bad guy. I thought it was good race riding. I thought Rispoli put the horse in a rough position to make his move. He had several opportunities to move the horse outside earlier in the race, and I just think it was a poor judgment, I would say, by Rispoli and his tactics, because the horse would have won by 10 regardless.
Yeah, it seems like that the common denominator of opinion is that journalism was the best horse no matter how you slice it up, and we will wait and see if the trip that he got and the effort that he put in the Preakness will prevent him from moving into the Belmont Stakes. And of course, he'll, like the ownership said, and like the trainer will do, journalism in the days leading up to the Belmont, and of course there at Saratoga now, will tell them in his mannerisms, his energy, etc., whether he's ready to compete next in the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, 17 days away now. Dwayne, looking ahead at this weekend, I'm sure you guys will be all set and ready to go for some action there at the Rampart with the special Memorial Day racing card across the country.
Yeah, the holiday weekend is going to be big, Ralph, and we had a huge turnout for the Preakness. It was incredible. I mean, the state was up, and we were up substantially more than what the state was, and just a testament to what we do at the Rampart. We support horse racing. You know, I'm one of the biggest advocates out there, and definitely we're stoked for this holiday weekend. It's going to be crazy. Santa Anita has a beautiful card, and we're really looking forward to have a ton of patrons there, Ralph. And it's been amazing since the start of the year, I have to say, the growth of horse racing on my property. And even now in Nevada, it's good to see, because we do need that handle growth. Despite the television viewership being down on the Preakness, it was a success in Las Vegas, and especially at the Rampart, where my numbers were off the charts.
Well, we hope with the Race Day Las Vegas show that we're helping along with the people here in town, with guys like you and John and Jonathan and Richie and Jerry Jackowitz, helping out those who want to enjoy this great sport of kings. And with that in mind, Dwayne, you had a nice winter last week. May we tap you on the shoulder for one today?
A little shorter odds today. I'm going Delaware, race six, the eight horse, good call. Axel Concepcion has the call on the horse, and this horse looks like he could improve and win this race. You have an 8-5 favorite. You know, Jamie Ness is always going to be the favorite in that neck of the woods, whether it's Parks, whether it's Delaware. This guy has a large stable, and he's always going to take a ton of money, but I'm going to look to beat him today with the 8 horse. Good call in the sixth race at Delaware. Also, I have my eye on a horse at Presque Isle. Keep in mind, Kevin Rice, very sharp trainer there. He has two horses in race five. I'm going to go with the longer price, the number five. She's fire in that race at Presque Isle. But the best play is definitely race six at Delaware. Number eight, good call. I think he's got a lot going for him now. And we're going to see if Compton could right the ship. It's a trainer change, but the horse is going from Oaklawn, now going to Delaware. I think that's a downgrade in racing, and I think this horse will be ready and just crush.
All right, Delaware Park, race number six, number eight, the eight in the sixth race at Delaware Park, and that race will go at noon our time, Pacific time. And, of course, you're going to take a look at Presque Isle, race five,
and you're going to take the other of the trainers to number five in that race. So we got race six, number eight, race five, number five, and we'll put that bankroll that you gave us last week to use this week. And, of course, don't forget that if you're up in the Summerlin area, there's only one place to go, and that is, of course, the Rampart, as it is here on the southwest part with the South Point. We had a hell of a Preakness day here, too. The book was full. The lounge next door, you know, the adjacent lounge, the Grandview Lounge, was full as well. There were a lot of people having a great time, and you guys do a good job, that's for sure. They love horse players at both the Rampart and the South Point here, that's for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Dwayne. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Definitely, Ralph, and thank you so much. You do so much, like you said, with the Race Day Show for these properties, especially the local brick and mortars in Las Vegas. You're the best, Ralph.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, my man, but I'm just the air traffic controller here. All the handicappers are the ones that really deserve the high five, that's for sure. Hey, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more of our handicappers. John Lendo will stand by. He'll tell us a little bit about what's going to go on this weekend at Southern California. And, of course, Jerry Jackowitz, always his words of thoughts about betting strategies. We'll be right back.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book, South Point Studio.
This is the best sports betting network.
I would argue it is a total mismatch.
There's value with underdog prices in series.
I would lean to the under here.
My numbers are saying I got to bet the Tigers.
Two-way action.
When in doubt, we juice that favorite, that extra nickel.
Sports by the book, South Point Studio.
Forget about it. The best.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. As you know, we got a six-day run now right through Memorial Day Monday. And although we can't take this any racing out of Texas because of the situation with the contracts and Heisen and all the regulations that are going on. They do have a big day of racing coming up on Monday, Memorial Day, at Lone Star Park, in case you're one of the folks that are there in Texas that are watching our show. And then you've got several stakes races that include the Texas Derby, the Steve Sexton Mile, that's a grade three, and the Memorial Day Sprint, among a bevy of stakes races on Monday at Lone Star. So we hope that if you're out there in Texas, you enjoy the races there as well. Let's go to Southern California now with John Lendo standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Doing fine, my man. A couple of days removed from all the action on the weekend. What say you about the Preakness? Any thoughts, any different thoughts after watching the replays like Jonathan did a couple of times?
No, but the only thing I noticed there watching it again, there's no way journalism gets up after all that trouble at the top of the lane. I mean, he was beat and a pretty amazing effort to get the job done there, overcoming all that stuff to win. And, I trust the connections to do the right thing at all times. Michael McCarthy's a terrific horseman. He will get no pressure from Eclipse Thoroughbreds that you have to run. So if they decide to go, they're going to think they're ready to win. And I would love to see the rematch with Baeza and, of course, Sovereignty. That would be something to see.
Well, the entries are already in for this weekend at Hollywood Park. And, of course, as I said, we're going to have the Calbred Stakes races one day. And, of course, then you have the Hollywood Gold Cup and some key stakes races coming up on Memorial Day Monday. As far as the Hollywood Gold Cup, at one time was the second most prestigious handicap race in Southern California behind the Santa Anita handicap. Now it's kind of relegated to a $200,000 race. But nevertheless, we've got seven horses in that race. And a lot of these handicap horses are not, you know, familiar names as far as the country is concerned. But Tarantino Breaks from the Rail for Peter Urton is going to be one of the horses, I think, that a lot of people will be taking a look at in that race. Juan Hernandez aboard.
Right. You know, the local older handicap horses have been relatively weak here for a while. And you saw what happened when Todd Fletcher brought his horse in for the Santa Anita handicap, and they just buried the field. You've got a shipper here. Skippy Longstocking comes in. Red Ortiz will be in on Sunday to ride for Safi Joseph. So he's the new face amongst a lot of faces that we've seen before. And I would consider him the one to beat based on what the local contingent is.
Well, it'll be kind of nice to see him there in Southern California. And you've got, the Shoemaker Mile, a grade one. You got the Gamely, a grade one for their division. So, after taking a look at the entries for the weekend, it looks like it's going to be really neat. It's going to be nice stuff.
Yeah, it's great to have, this quality of card at Santa Ynez. This will be the last really big day before the end of the meet. And, we've had to go through a lot of those Northern California restricted races. And you have to do it. I understand it. But it's great to see a Santa Anita quality card on Memorial Day where we can really enjoy it and watch some good horses run.
And, of course, the Calbreds, six Calbred stakes races will be on tap for Saturday. So it's going to be a really great weekend for Southern California racing finally, and you'll be covering it all for us on the Race Day show as we have a special Memorial Day Monday show as well. As far as the Lindo Report, how's that shake out this week?
Well, we're going to do that Churchill Downs card tomorrow. They've got one of those twilight cards which starts at 2 o'clock Pacific time, which is good for us. And then we go right into Santa Anita for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And like I said, the weekend cards look better there, so I'm looking forward to that.
And, of course, one last ask, and that is any other three-year-olds in Southern California, especially from the Bob Baffert barn besides Rodriguez, that are contemplating a Saratoga trip?
Well, obviously, Baeza's here. He's waiting. And, Michael McCarthy, we'll find out from him. And I don't think there's anybody else on the radar right now. And what we have to watch for as we get ready to get close to the Belmont, we're going to find some pace in that race, Ralph. There's no speed. Yeah. So let's see who maybe makes a choice. Right. It's got a horse that can make the lead. Maybe they'll go to the Belmont.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
And now we got our final thought from Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, your thought about the Preakness.
Well, the obvious thought is that journalism is classes better than the rest of the horses in the race.
Okay.
That's the first thing you'd see. I thought Sandman made a nice step forward and raced forwardly for him. I mean, he's very overrated in my opinion. But now maybe he's starting to develop, and maybe now's a chance for him to go forward and to start matching up to these. But he still seems quite a bit behind Journalism and probably Sovereignty and Baeza. The horse that was most interesting was Gosker, who I gave out on the show.
And you loved Gosker in that race. You did.
Yeah, I loved him. I really loved him for second, actually, but I liked him a little bit for first at 15-1. I thought he was worth a play.
Right.
But the thing about him now is that he's had very little racing, and the race that he ran in the Preakness was very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, he'll be a no touch for quite a while. I think he's going to bounce off this
effort.
All
right.
So, and I also think that he's probably a mile or to a mile and an eighth type of horse.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting, he could probably sit on the sidelines for a while before he runs again, and that would probably be his best interest. Journalism, it's just impossible to know how hard that race was with all that bumping and everything, because, usually horse racing is not football.
Right.
But, he's sort of breaking through the line. How much that takes out of a horse, it's hard to say. But I will say this. He ran right to the number that I assigned. I assigned on the power page a 78.0. He ran 77
and he
got three
it.
Quarters. And that's the story and with trouble.
The story here is we're running out of time, so go ahead and say it.
Serrato, and Race Day Las Vegas morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.